How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday, and I'm not flying across the country, and it's not Thanksgiving, which means I'm happy to be here with the man himself, Ant, Coach Ant, 49ers cutback, the legend, the guru. We've got to get the Apollo Creed list of names. we've got to get these implemented. Ant, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, yeah. And usually I'm a one-name guy. I mean, I even shortened my name to Ant. And then all of a sudden, you start getting all this stuff going on. Yeah, I can't handle the Apollo Creed, you know, all the different names that he had. It was phenomenal. That character's one of my favorites just because of the arrogance at which he was. And but he was pretty darn good, too. So I kind of like that reference. I'm a huge Rocky guy, so I love that you're coming with that. All I can hear now is Living in America. That's all I can hear. Rocky IV, he's putting on a show. I love it.
Hey, man, maybe we have finished the Living in America song, and we know what comes left next in Rocky IV. Perhaps that is where we are. The Ivan Drago has come to lay waste upon the 2024 49ers, but I don't think it's as doom and gloom as it feels. I forget which coach it was. I was like, I don't think it's doom and gloom. But I don't think we're really quite there. The 49ers, definitely not where they want to be. We're going to talk about, again, if you've never joined us for a Coach Approach on Thursdays, we spent the first half talking about things we noticed on the tape as, you know, former coaches, whatever, things that jumped off the screen. And then the second half, we try to channel that around what we want to see moving forward, because I think there's a very clear path to victory this Sunday. Not that it's an easy game. And with the injuries, obviously, who's playing, who's not playing, that's going to add to it. But I think that there is a clear path to victory against the Bears. We're going to be talking about that in the second half. It's just, man, can the 49ers do the game plan? That's what it's going to be. So shout out to everybody joining us. RTP, the man. What's up? What's up? We got Kevin in the house. I freaking love it. JD, he says, man, I'll be working from home today, catching a live show. That's what's up. And he finishes his comment with, are there any good long snappers we could draft in the second round? Might dramatically improve our special teams. If we did draft a long snapper, we would not only have the highest drafted kicker in the NFL, we would not only have the highest drafted punter in the NFL, we could also have the highest drafted long snapper in the NFL, despite, I would argue, being the worst special teams unit in the NFL. What is your take? Should you ever draft a long snapper? Ant.
Never draft a long snapper. I mean, as somebody that's seen long snappers come out of the woodwork, there's all these guys are sitting at practice in high school, long snapping all day long, looking for an opportunity. We know a long snapper that went and played at Fresno State and played with Derek Carr. He's roommates with Derek Carr, and he can handle it. So even he knows you don't draft anyone. Come on, you never draft a long snapper. But third round comp pick, long snapper seems like what's going to happen, especially because, let's be honest, Tabor Pepper needs to lock in. His snaps were not very good this season, and last week
lock it in.
Not very good. Lock in. Let's go.
My first coaching special teams duty was long snapper. I was a long snapper in high school. I was the backup long snapper for 3 years. I played a couple games, but anyway, I like long snappers. I do think it is time to move on from our current long snapper. Has not had the best of years. Maybe that changes soon, but we'll see what happens there. But yeah, special teams, yikes, yikes, yikes. So let's go and give me something positive. Give me something you saw on tape this past week or past 2 weeks that kind of, hey, this is something the 49ers can build on, or this is a positive, because we got to have something positive.
You know, I really love the way that Kyle Shanahan came out and attacked with the running game. He went to the counters really early, and we've seen the aggressiveness from the Packers. They were going to motion a lot of guys. They were going to get downhill quickly. They were attacking the 49ers when they were running things on the play side. And so he said, you know what, we're not even going to fool around with this. We think the Bills are going to do the same thing, and they caught him in it, and they were able to get some nice creases for Christian McCaffrey. And I thought the running game looked pretty good there. Of course, it ended up fizzling out, but I like that thought process is, let's go ahead and let's adjust and let's take advantage of what the defense is going to give us. And I thought Kyle Shanahan did a really good job with that. And it only comes if you have the blocking that you can get on the front. And I thought that Ben Bartsch and Jalen Moore did a really good job, a lot of good runs coming from the left side. And so what we saw was Bartsch being able to use his lower half to block. And I want to give him some flowers, because we've seen Aaron Banks struggle because of the calf injury to get his lower body to do what he needs it to do, to flip his hips, to turn the steering wheel, to get his body between the man and the hole. And we saw Ben Bartsch doing that. He looked like a very athletic player. I don't know how much we can attribute to the snow, because it seemed like everyone was struggling in the snow when it came defensively. But I thought that that was a big factor in this game, and I love seeing that from the running game. And I love to see Kyle do that more. He's going to have to figure out some things to get Isaac Garendo going. I love Israel Abanikanda. That was a nice pickup as well. But I think they got to do something to get Garendo going, and maybe using the defense own aggressiveness against him would help.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I remember there was a two-play sequence where you outside tossed. Yeah, it was a C-gap cutback to McCaffrey on the first quarter. And the very next play, you gave a mirrored look, and it was the same, like, motion, pre-snap, everything. And you go to the toss, and it's an instant counter cutback. And it was just like, it was just a boxing. We were sticking with the boxing metaphors today. It was a perfect 1-2. And it was just like, oh, got him on the outside, get him on the inside. It was just like, man, that's what I'm talking about. 1-2, just right off the bat. It was like, oh, all right. Now, this is something that I wanted to talk about a little bit later, but you brought up Israel Abanikanda. Abanikanda. There we go.
Yeah.
I like the way you say it way more. So I went back, and shout out to my man, Josh. He always helps with the show. I went back and looked at our draft write-up on Israel, and man, a couple things that came off. Now, he's the closest. He got drafted 2023 fifth round pick. He's the closest thing to Isaac Garendo, like, of all the running backs that have come out back to back years. Like, they are so close to each other. Bigger bodied, speed guys, height, weight, speed combinations. Here's what I wrote in my pre-draft write-up: high end combination of size and speed. Great at noticing when there's space to bounce outside, prefers to bounce outside, needs to break more tackles. Even though he did break a lot of tackles, if he doesn't get his speed going, he's not going to break a tackle. He has to get going, that momentum going before he can do it. Does not run to his size, loose running style, needs to be more decisive. Vision is a question mark. Knows where the chains are on every play, one cut runner. I think almost every single one of those things applies to Isaac Garendo. Agree. What did I miss on? What are your thoughts on the new 49ers running back, Israel A?
Yeah, what's really interesting is this is one of my guys. Like, this is one of the ones that I was a huge fan of. I knew he fit the system. And of course, when the Jets selected him in the fifth round, it made a lot of sense to me. He's a little bit of a long strider when it comes to running the football. But the thing I liked about him the most was the one cut and go fit what the 49ers want to do. And he's very fall forward type of player. There's a forward lean to the way he runs. On contact, he'll fall forward, get the extra yard or two. He's not as explosive as Isaac Garendo. Garendo definitely has a speed advantage over Abanikanda, but what you're going to get is a player that has a lot of potential. And depending on how he's developed over the last 2 years with the Jets, his vision could be a lot better. And this could be a guy that fits really nice as a 1-2 with Garendo, two young players. And Abanikanda is 22 years old. This guy is way younger than everybody else. So this could be a long-term look for the 49ers as well. Let's take a look at him, see what happens, because we have some running back decisions to make moving forward. But I like the move overall, and he was one of my guys that I definitely like coming out of that draft.
Yeah, I had a fifth-round grade on him. He went in the fifth round, pick 143. I think that's where he was. He was waived by the Jets December 2nd. We picked him up December 3rd. And so it was like, would we have picked him up if, you know, we didn't have the injuries, not one, but two injuries? Yeah, I don't know. But now, okay, let's go to this. Shout out to Shane, hashtag CC, and shout out to my man, Grand Day. Had an awesome time. He was one of the brave souls that braved the Buffalo storm out there. We had an awesome time hanging out this week. Appreciate you, man. So here's my question. And again, we're already out of order. How do you see the running back depth chart working out this week? What is the pecking order that you have just for this current game against the Bears, not long-term with the guys that we have in our stable? It's Isaac G, number one. Who do you have getting those number two reps this week?
I think it's Patrick Taylor. I mean, the fact that he's been with the 49ers all through training camp, most of the regular season, and then on the practice squad, Kyle will feel comfortable with Patrick Taylor being out there. And comfort is a huge thing for Kyle. I think that Abanikanda is going to have to work his way in. And I think that there will be some opportunities for him here and there. I don't know how much he would carry the ball this week. Probably not until next week with the Rams. Maybe that gives him a better opportunity. But I don't know what the verbiage is compared to what the Jets were running. If it's very similar, this could be an early adjustment. But Bobby Turner is going to want to get his claws on this guy and figure out what exactly he can do. And until then, Kyle's going to go with the guys that he understands and feels comfortable with. So Patrick Taylor will be two. And I would actually argue probably Debo would be three for Ooh. This game. And then they would go Abanikanda after that. More special teams for Abanikanda as they kind of figure him out and figure out what he can do. And once they know, then I think he will overtake Patrick Taylor because he's way more dynamic in a bunch of different areas than Patrick Taylor. Patrick Taylor's kind of just more consistent, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, Shanahan and Turner, they want that huge home run. I want consistent. I want lack of negativity, which we've had so much of with our offensive line and penalties and whatever else. That's why what I would want is I would want Patrick Taylor getting more snaps personally. I don't think that's going to happen. So my question to you is, does Debo get more carries or Patrick Taylor Jr. this week?
I think it's going to be Debo. I think Kyle is going to look at Debo and say, hey, you know what? It's 2021 again, guy. Let's go.
Are you a person who tends to overspend on or around the holidays? Well, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. And the best part is you don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can start investing your money in just 5 minutes. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be as small as $5 a day or just some spare change. That's right. Acorns can round up every purchase you make to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So whenever you go to get your coffee before you go on that shopping trip, guess what? That's investing. I've used Acorns for a long time, way before this sponsorship started. And a big reason why is because you can invest without time and without a lot of money, and you can choose how aggressive you want to be with the amount of money that you invest. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Grendel will get most of the carries, but I think he's going to look at Debo and be like, you haven't been doing a whole lot this season anyways. And he's not going to tell Debo that, but Debo knows he hasn't been doing a whole lot this season. And we're going to have to get you more involved. And I think it's important to get Debo more involved in the game, because yesterday me and Mark were talking. And I said he was like Waldo. Like, where's he been? He shows up on kick return, but we haven't seen the consistent plays from Debo this year that we're used to seeing, the explosives. He has one real explosive play that led to a touchdown this season. I'd like to see more from him. So, yeah, Kyle getting him in the backfield seems like it's important. And if you're going to have teams being as aggressive as they have been to stop the run, then the plays coming back the other way could be important. And I don't know what you saw in film, but I thought I seen the Buffalo Bills ignoring Debo a lot on fakes and motions, which hasn't been the norm. So if they're going to start ignoring him, that means you have to start feeding him the ball. It's going to give him some opportunities.
Yeah, he needs the ball in his hands. My thing is, he's got to stop going lateral all the time. Like, again, back to, I think one of the issues of this offense is people want home runs. Man, we need Tony Gwynn's. We need singles. So you run those screens to Debo, which finally, you know, one of the things that I really liked about the Buffalo game plan, a lot of it was the snow and the weather, the most screens we've run all season. And that was Brock Purdy's highest quarterback rating. But you throw it out to Debo and he gets 2 or 3 yards where he could have got 5. I know he wants the explosive, but man, 5 yards in this offense is what we need consistent. And so you can't really turn Debo off, and you're not, I don't think that's what you try to do, but I think you tell Debo, like, look, dude, we need more north and south, less east and west, like, get upfield. And so one of those plays, I think it was like second and 14 or something, second 13, and he got like 2 or 3 yards. And it's like, man, Jake Moody has to kick this field goal. Every damn yard is the most important yard in the world. And it's just like, we got to get those extra yards. And I don't know. I think that's an issue. Now, Allen, sticking with the wide receivers, and I like this question. Thank you, Allen. We need to see if the wide receivers we drafted have what it takes. Get them on the field. Debo is now a specialist. Jennings is the man for us, but isn't elite. No Bell anymore. Why are we not giving? I don't think that Jacob Cowan has had a catch since that 40-plus yard. I don't think he's had a catch. I don't even know if he's had a target. Since, like, am I crazy? Maybe no. I need to look this up. I think he caught a screen.
I can't remember what game it was, but remember he caught the one inside the red zone.
2 receptions on the year.
Yeah.
That's it? He's only had targets in one game? God. Oh, my God. I'm disgusted.
Well, I'm not sure Buffalo was really the game to showcase Jacob Cowan, because he can't block with the best of them. Yeah. There was a play where he was in and he went in motion and he ran a vertical route. In fact, it's the Brock Purdy fumble. And he opens things up for Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is open. That's where Brock Purdy's going with the football. It's going to be a clear completion. Those are the things Jacob Cowan can do because of the speed. But they just don't feel comfortable with his level of understanding this offense, whether it's lining up wrong, which he did a lot in the middle of the year, or it's the blocking. And that's unfortunate. And maybe he'll step up in the remaining parts of the games, and maybe he'll get a couple targets. But they've got to also get the ball to Ricky Pearsall. And I think that's something that would help this team out if they could start distributing it a little bit more. Right now, it seems like it's just Juwan that they're working through. And I get it. He's the ex receiver. That's what they did with Brandon Ayuk. I get it. He's that guy. He's earned that right. But they need to spread the wealth out a little bit.
Yeah. And like, but my thing is this. Jacob Cowan got one snap. You're down 25 points. You're on the road, back-to-back blowouts. Why not? Why? What? Like, I don't understand. I don't get it. Now, Pearsall, he had 35 snaps. Debo had 36. He's out there, and he was open a couple times, but, man, he might have had the worst footing of any player for either team. He was slipping all over the place. But it's an issue. It is an issue. And I saw somebody in here bring up Florio in the chat. I will never speak on that guy. So, like, sorry, guys. That dude has no credibility whatsoever. He just makes stuff up. And that's just not really what we're about. But not saying. I hope he makes all of his money, whatever else. I choose not to participate in that clown dude. That dude's, he's a joke, man. But I hope he makes his money. I always want everybody to be successful, but I ain't talking about him on this show. Now, one of the other issues that I saw on tape, I don't think that Purdy had a good game. And that does, like, anytime I talk about Purdy, I always got to put this out there. I don't want to move on from him. I want him to be the quarterback of the future. But I think that this Bills game was probably one of the most exaggerated examples of him holding onto the ball too long, not letting go of the pass whenever he saw an open wide receiver. Like, even if we're just talking Juwan Jennings, man, there were three or four times where Jennings was wide open and Brock held and patted the ball. I don't know why he's doing this patting the ball so much now, to where whenever he finally did throw it, now it's a contested catch. He got one of them and he dropped another one, but it's like, man, Juwan Jennings was open several times early, and it's almost like Brock Purdy was waiting for him to turn around because of the footing, perhaps. But it did seem like it exaggerated the amount of time that Brock Purdy seems to be holding onto the ball. He's not gripping and ripping it, right, to use the Shanahan phrase. Is that something that came across in your film study as well, Coach?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That's one of the things that just kind of jumped off the screen was Brock Purdy. I think it's really in his head that he doesn't want to turn over the football. I think he knows how important it is to hold on the football and not create turnovers. And I think that has slowed him down. And like you said, he's just not ripping it like he used to. But I think this game in particular made it difficult because we've heard Steve Young talk about superpower and what Brock Purdy's superpower is, and that's throwing with anticipation. Well, you can't throw with anticipation if you don't know where your guy's going to be as they're sliding in and out of their breaks, trying to get their route to where they're supposed to be. So that kind of made him change the way he had to throw the football. So then he has to wait for them to get open to make sure they don't fall. And then he was just late on it. So I think it threw off the timing of Brock Purdy to wide receiver. And I laughed a couple of times because even on a third and long, they ran a deep out pattern to Juwan Jennings. And you can see Juwan Jennings gets like an extra yard and a half deep because he's sliding around like he's running on ice. And it's like, this is just craziness. Like, Brock Purdy's not going to be used to this weather. Anytime over the rest of his career they play in these types of conditions, it's going to be a problem. And that's just what we know. But how often are they going to play in these conditions? It's not very often that you get a rain game or a snow game for the 49ers. And I think that's something to consider as well.
Yeah. Are the issues with Brock Purdy holding the ball in wet weather a concern for you?
Yeah, I think it is. I think wet weather in general is a problem for Brock Purdy right now. Just seeing the open hand throws, you know, the ball coming out and no real pressure, but he just can't keep a grip on it. I think that is a concern. I think the question is, how many of those games is he going to see per season? You know, is it one or two? What's he going to do for the other 15 games? And you're just hoping those weather games don't happen in the playoffs. But for the most part,
January football.
Right. And last year, the Packers game first half, he struggled a little bit. But once he got rolling, they were able to get it done and do enough. But if it's sunny outside, Brock Purdy's going to do pretty good usually.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big I have to keep saying this. Like, I love Purdy, but man, I counted like five or six ducks. Like, I mean, ball comes out, it's just like, wah, 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 wah. Like, I thought ducks flew south in the winter. Like, what happened there? That's what it is. Sonia, Pearsall is officially invisible. He literally runs circles on the field, is being ignored. No, he's open. And even on the play where he fell down, Ricky Pearsall was wide open for 4 seconds. Brock sees it, waits, throws it, duck comes out of his hand. He tries to make an adjustment, busts his butt. And so it was bad on Pearsall, but that dude was wide open for multiple seconds with nobody 10-plus yards in any direction. Now, we'll see. Something's got to change. And the one thing that I will say that I did like, and this is a props to Shanahan, there was one play where Debo was out, Jordan Mason was out, CMC was out, And he went with what we've been talking about on the show. I want the Debo CMC backfield, except it wasn't Debo CMC. It was Isaac G and Ricky Pearsall. And guess what? It worked for a touchdown, the only touchdown of the game. Like, it was the same play that we've ran for 3 years now, and we put it on the shelf. No clue why. You did a fake zone read with Pearsall. Buffalo fell for it. Why the hell would you hand it off to Pearsall like that? And then you hit Garendo on a backwards pass. It allowed your guys to go block it downfield like it was an awesome wrinkle. It's like, man, where's this been? So I did like that Shanahan did not allow the personnel to dictate, oh, I can't run this play, I got to scrap it. He called the play, and that was without Debo and without CMC. It was just Pearsall and Isaac G. So hopefully we keep doing those things. We're well along in the year, so Isaac G should know the playbook. Little worried about pass protection and his responsibilities there. If I'm Buffalo, I'm blitzing like crazy. But we'll see there. All right, let's go back to you, Ant. Give us something that you saw on tape that stood out to you that perhaps you didn't notice right off the bat.
Yeah, it was personnel groupings for defense. You know, first I'll start out with a good part of it was I've been clamoring over the last 2 weeks, especially for the 49ers to pull off a linebacker and put an extra safety on the field in third and long situations. And they did. Tashawn Gibson would come out there sometimes and cover the tight end, which I thought was a nice addition because he handled that last season and did such a great job. So that was something I liked. I'm still calling for them to go to more dime when you get third and really long. Let's get these guys that are cover guys out there and make it a little bit easier for the coverage. They can all tackle, especially if it's, you know, one of these bigger corners. They're capable. So I've been going there. But also there was some bad personnel groupings. The Bills are running extra offensive linemen, and the 49ers are in nickel. I couldn't figure that out. It's like, let's go big on big. Let's bring in an extra defensive tackle.
Got to keep Nick McLeod out there at all situations. And he's that's pivotal what it looked like to our success.
That's what it looked like on film. It was very frustrating to see. And I would literally say, wait a second, is that McLeod? Like, that's how my breakdowns were going. And I just couldn't figure it out because they were – getting an offensive lineman one-on-one with like Jair Brown or one-on-one with McLeod and getting huge push on the edge. And I think that was a real problem in this game. So Sorensen's got to figure out the personnel groupings on what these teams do. And I think the problem is the adjustment in game. He just can't adjust on the fly. It's like the old adage old coaches used to do is we didn't practice it, so we can't do it. And it's like, No, you can go freaking do it. And I think that has been the problem. Personnel groupings really got Nick Sorensen in this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like we gave up 220 yards rushing. Oh, wait a second. Let's put out our worst rush defense group out there. But to be fair to Nick Sorensen's credit, he's been working on counting lately, and we didn't have 12 men out there. So that's a props. That's an adjustment. He's getting there. Spent some time with Sesame Street in the count. He's getting there. Now, here's the problem. They're out there. Like you talked about it with extra offensive linemen and tight end. And two of my least favorite things I've ever heard on the sideline as a coach or a player. I'm calling the right defense. You're just not executing. That's number one. You got to make adjustments. If you're getting beat, you got to change. And then number two, like you said, we haven't practiced that, so we can't do that. These are grown ass professional athletes. You can draw it up on the damn board. You play Thanksgiving football, you tell your little nephew, go 10 steps that way, he's going to do it most of the time. These guys know what the hell they're doing. They played in multiple fronts. Nick Sorensen is the only one that doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and it's become more and more obvious every single game. More busted coverages, and man, I don't know how the hell that is possible. It just keeps coming across. Back-to-back 35-plus point games. Yikes, man. It's so bad. So a Niners fan put this out there. Fire Sorensen, get a legitimate DC. Either you, John, or Ant would be a better DC than Sorensen. Now, Ant, you're more positive than me, low bar. Are you, like, how would you handle this situation for the 49ers if you were in charge right now with Sorensen? What would you do?
Yeah, I think the way that Kyle's handling it right now is kind of letting this thing play out. I think that, you know, you don't want to make a wholesale change right now for the effect it could have. You're trying not to spiral completely out of control. So this is one of those times where maybe you want to put more influence on Brandon Staley and say, hey, look, we got to make something happen. Maybe Kyle sneaks into a couple of meetings and finds out what's going on. But I think that they need to be more aggressive. I think a decision for Nick Sorensen is going to come at the end of the season, and depending on what happens in these next five games, is going to determine whether he gets another shot or not. So this is one of those situations that he's got to prove it. I think he still has an opportunity to do so, and he might be getting some playmakers back. Dre Greenlaw, Talano Hufanga, some guys right there. Tarvarius Ward finally came back. Now Demo. So maybe that will help. But if it doesn't, the 49ers could address defensive coordinator in the offseason, which I don't think Kyle really wants to do. Going to his third defensive coordinator in 3 years, that's not what you're looking for. So we'll see. I think that they've got to figure some things out. And one of the things, and I want to know what you think about this, John, is I really think the 49ers need to start forcing the issue. They need to get up there and be more aggressive with everything they do. Less off coverage. They need to get up there and be physical at the point of attack. Go big when you need to go big. Just be hyper aggressive with everything and put the onus on the offense.
Yeah, I really wish we would do more press cover three. I know the NFL has moved away from that since the Seattle three and all that kind of stuff that they did there. But, man, whenever you just telegraph off coverage three from the jump, from the huddle break, it's so easy to make your calls. It's so easy. You can show man and then go zone. Like, that's simple. But showing zone then going man, that's recipe for disaster at any football at any level. It's just bad because you're starting your players off in worse situation they should be in. Filthy Casual has this question. How do the 49ers improve the run defense? One, learn how to personnel. That's simple as hell. Two, man, make it easier. So if you're going to commit to light boxes, which the 49ers are now, we have 6 and 7 man boxes only. It's pretty much all we do. Sometimes on rare occasion, 8 man boxes with the safety walk down. But you need more stout defensive tackles. I want way more Evan Anderson and way more Malik Collins groupings on first and second down. Like, you go to your NASCAR package sometimes, but we need stout defensive tackle play, and I think we're struggling. Khalil Davis showed a couple promise on a couple plays, but we're getting dominated at the defensive tackle spot. I think that's kind of where it starts. Not having Bosa out there hurts. Devondre Campbell hurts. He just misses his gap. I don't understand his gap integrity. I don't think it was always his. He was an all-pro player. He overruns where he's supposed to be so often, and he takes the cheese every freaking time. It bothers me. Now, I got a question from Trust N61. Shout out to the man. He emailed me. Was Eric Armstead more valuable to this team than we thought? Seems like we haven't replaced him really at all. What are your thoughts on Eric Armstead? Just got nominated for Walter Payton Man of the Year. Again, shout out to Corey Robinson. He's the Walter Payton Man of the Year for the 49ers. What are your thoughts? Eric Armstead leaving, was it a bigger hurt than we thought?
Well, I think we were all concerned about the run defense. You know, I mean, Armstead was really good at being able to hold his ground. And why not, right? He was a 5-tech in college. That's just kind of what he did. One at the point of attack. So I think we all knew that that was going to take a step back. Malik Collins has been pretty good, you know, in everything that he does. And if you had Javon Hargrave, you know, who knows what would happen. Now, he's not great against the run either. But I think that that's always been a problem for the 49ers. And they've tried through the years to kind of bring guys in, a guy like Hassan Ridgeway or some bigger bodies that can help stop the run on early downs. But when they get to the later downs, they want to bring pressure. And what's interesting about the 49ers is it feels like early on in the game, they do a really good job stopping the run. The first two drives against the Bills, they were doing pretty good. And then all of a sudden, everything starts moving. And once you get these guys washing through, it makes it more difficult for linebackers to make tackles. There's missed tackles by, you know, D. Winters right in the hole. And I explained to people that part of the problem is the gap is way bigger than it should be because the defensive tackle got washed all the way through. Yeah. And now a running back's got a lot of room to be able to move and cut. So, yeah, defensive tackle's been a huge problem. I think that they were never expecting some of the guys to get as many reps, you know, in the back end as they're getting. And, you know, they're just not as good at the top side without Eric Armstead or without Javon Hargrave. And I think that's been really frustrating this season.
Yeah, it's and a lot of it, too, is we'll show like we could win early. Our game plan's fine. The adjustments don't exist. So what happens is, man, you're playing against Brady, offensive coordinator, Joe Brady over there. He's a damn good coordinator. And so he goes to the sideline and he makes the adjustments. Okay, this is the way they're going to play this. This is how we're going to block it now. Second possession is going to work. Third possession is going to be better. And
Sorensen ain't going to make no adjustments all game. Not first quarter, not second, not third, not fourth. And so you get out there for the first or second drive, and you're like, look, man, let's just see how they play all these things, and then we're going to counter off all that. And it's just, man, we're giving them the fourth quarter answers to the test. That's why we're 29th in fourth quarter scoring defense. I mean, the Bills still scored a touchdown against us in the fourth quarter, and they were up 20 points. They weren't even trying to score. Mitch Trubisky was out there. We saw Mitch Trubisky. Oh, man. That was probably the most moral. Not the weather, not the snowballs hitting the back of your head 20 times during the course of the game. It was seeing Mitch Trubisky take snaps against your defense and still move the ball. Oh, that one hurt. That one hurt. That was a low point. Low point for me. Now, I got to say this. If you think the 49ers are going to be successful, it's not all doom and gloom. If you want to put your money where your mouth is, go do that. If you want to bet on draft picks, you can go do that right over at my bookie.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at my bookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, Ant, I need to know the answers for why the 49ers are going to be successful moving forward. We got 5 games. Backs against the wall. Might be able to drop one more game, but probably not an NFC game to get into the playoffs. Yeah, I know. It's still there. And you got to deal with that. That's the way the coaches do it. They're not waving the white flag, and they shouldn't be. What's something that you want to see moving forward this week versus the Bears?
Yeah, I think it's just, when it comes to defense, a little bit better in the red zone. I mean, and I'm only asking for a little bit. They are just getting absolutely gashed inside the red zone. And I knew Buffalo was going to kill them because Buffalo is 63% scoring touchdowns in the red zone. And I thought that that number is going to go up just the way Josh Allen is. And so I knew that was going to be bad. So my argument the whole week was, don't even let them in the red zone. Like, you better be a hyper aggressive before they ever even get there. So that's something they're going to have to do. Now, with the Bears offense, they've been going through so many problems. They've changed offensive coordinators. Now they've changed head coach. We understand that this offense has gotten a little bit different, but still, Caleb Williams is still one of those guys that's very frustrating. He's either very frustrating for the defense or very frustrating for the offense and the fans, because he can make mistakes and he can end drive. So what the 49ers need to do is keep them out of the red zone and just force field goals. If you can force Chicago to do what they've been doing all season and kick field goals, you're going to have a really good chance to win. But that means being effective in the red zone, which we haven't seen the 49ers do at a high level on defense, and they've got to figure it out. If they don't, this season's going to be a wrap. You know, there's a chance for the playoffs, that's for sure. But right now, they haven't played like it. They're going to have to be better on third down against Chicago. They're going to have to be better in the red zone. The only thing I can say is they did play 2 really tough teams in a row. Green Bay and Buffalo was on everyone's list as games they could possibly lose. That's the bright side. The bad side is they got absolutely blown out by those teams. So they've got to be a lot better when it comes to playing Chicago.
Yeah, and if you look at the teams that, again, Buffalo's played, Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, and they've lost all those games by a combined 7 points. On top of that, you talked about how bad the 49ers are in the red zone. I talked about this yesterday on the show. 1999 is where they started tracking red zone percentage. The 49ers defense ranks worse than every 49ers team since 1999 to now. And it could go back further, but they didn't even track it back. I can't find that data anywhere. That's how poor the 49ers defense has been on special teams. I'm sorry, on red zone defense, special teams. That's usually my default. Now, I wanted to put this out there. What a shout out to Jim, my amazing listener. He created a week 14 Bears versus 49ers bingo chart. So if you are a person that loves misery, but you want to have some fun and win some stuff, yeah, he put out a bingo chart. I got to put this out on social media or you could just screen grab it. He's got some good ones in there. The center square is Brindle sucks. No, I didn't make this, but I thought it was great. I thought it'd give some people a laugh. Yeah, so there's some good ones on here. Running back gives up a sack, give up a third and long, third and short, go empty. Like, there's just some good stuff on there. Hopefully it brings somebody a smile. I don't know. We got to find a way to smile at some point. Now, you talked about Caleb Williams and how, I mean, he doesn't turn the ball over, but he gets sacked all the time. I feel like this is the week, if there ever was a week, to run the most zone coverage you've run all season, which isn't that much. We're like in the middle of the NFL as far as how much zone coverage we run, which is not how we built this team. A lot of zone coverage, and I want D-line stunts this week because I want to confuse him, keep him in the pocket. If Caleb Williams is forced to beat you throwing the ball, I like our chances against zone. Now, excuse me, if you do that cover one under man, whatever, and you only bring four and we're running man coverage on the backside, we're in trouble. You're about to give Caleb Williams the opportunity to make the greatest highlights of his career. And like, that terrifies me. So if you're going to run man, you better blitz and you should be in zone and D-line stunts. That's what I want moving forward. Kind of confuse Caleb a little bit. I think that they can do that, Ant.
Yeah, I think they can too. Caleb Williams is a guy I've watched for a long time. I watch a lot of USC games, so I saw Caleb Williams. And one of the most frustrating things that he does is he likes to hold on to the football. He thinks that he can make every single play and every single throw, and he's going to go out there and try to do that. So getting him into a situation where he can only read half the field, getting pressure from one side, moving him in one direction or the other is always a good idea because when he can only look one side of the field, it just completely cuts down what he's capable of doing. So I love the line stun idea. I don't think that was in the cards last week when we couldn't get guys to even get off the ball without falling down on defense. But you've got guys that are athletic enough to potentially mirror this guy and run with them a little bit. Plenty of talent, though, on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, they are loaded at wide receiver. They have a pretty good tight end. It's going to be a tough task for the 49ers. But if you can get him off his game, and like you said, get some good zone coverages, run some of those things that used to confuse some of the other guys. We were so pumped a few weeks ago when D'Amore Lenore ran, you know, the deep middle and the cover two, the Tampa two. Let's get to some of that stuff that could confuse them. And if you do that, yeah, one time they ran it. And if you could get them to do that, then you possibly could create turnovers. And I think that's one of the keys as well. 49ers do not create turnovers anymore. Early on in the season, they were dominating when it came to turnovers, nearly 2.5 per game. And then now they're just not even doing that. They're falling. They're now what, -3 in turnover differential? It has been bad recently. They've got to be a lot better there.
We forced one turnover since our bye week, one turnover in our past four games. We've gone 1-3 in that same time period, almost lost that Bucks game too. That's an issue for me. And so yeah, you got to figure some of that stuff out. Now, something that I want to see, especially the offensive side of the ball. Sorry, I'm going twice in a row here, but I always want to finish it with Ant because I feel like you're smarter than me. So it's what it is. I want Kyle Shanahan to act like it's snowing so that he stays with screen plays and checkdowns and run game. It's who we are. It's how we built this team. I don't care if it's Isaac G and Patrick Taylor and Debo or Israel A. I don't care. Keyshawn Vaughn, I don't care. Run the damn ball. I don't ever want to see an empty set again for the rest of my life. It grosses me out. Like, I have PTSD. It's not who we are. It's not who we are. We're not good at it. So keep the screens where they are. Keep the runs. Keep the play action. All those things. Just stay with the way you're built in your identity. You don't have to outsmart other teams. Stick with what you're good at, your staples, right? You invite a guest over, you don't make a new dish that you never made before. No, you go with your staples. That's what you do. So, like, man, make what you're good at making Brock Purdy. Make what you're good like at making, Kyle Shanahan. Don't overthink it. Screens, layups, play action, run the ball, run the ball. Even if you're only getting 2.5 yards to carry, I don't care. Stick with the run. Stick with the run.
Yeah, I think it needs to go back to the Jimmy G style of offense. You know, that 2019, 2021 style. Get him under center. Get Brock Purdy running play action. Move the pocket. Get him on the boot. Allow some very easy throws for him. Also run some flood routes and go ahead and put these defenders in some interesting situations where they're in vertical and horizontal stretches, the way the 49ers can move guys. Create windows that way. I think that's very important. They're going to have to rely on the running game like you brought up. I think it's going to have to be unique. I think they're also going to have to add in some extended run play, some of those swing passes, get some things out there, some quick screens. Try to force defenses to cover horizontally and then take advantage of the intermediate routes, because right now the linebackers are getting very deep drops against the 49ers. So you're going to have to take the throws underneath, get 5-6 yards, and live for the next play until they're willing to creep down. That's what you're going to have to do. Go on long drives, be consistent with those short throws, and get the run game going. But I'd love to see Brock Purdy moving a little bit in the pocket. And I know that we've seen teams bring pressure off the edge and kind of slow that up a little bit. But if they don't get there in time or they read it wrong, there are wide open receivers when the 49ers do it. So they need to go back to more of that style of offense, I think, especially right now without Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and, you know, Filthy Casual says, can we rely on Garrido? No, but you don't have a choice. You got to. He has not showed you that you can rely on him. The big play ability is there, but the consistent and the lack of negativity, that's not there. It's really, really not there. So, but you don't have that choice anymore. The second part to your question is, when should we rely on Israel? I think you get him a couple touches, give him some layups. Like you've had, he's in practice Wednesday. So like you go through the full playbook, but during team walkthrough, you're like, look, dude, we're going to try to get you two of these snaps guaranteed in this formation, in this setting, in this play. Make sure he's 100% comfortable next week. It's a short week, but that's when you can start to get filter him in a little bit more. But you got to rely on Garrido. You got nobody else. You have to.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. I think the place you might see Israel Abanikanda a little bit, maybe as a returner, put him back there with Debo on kick return and see what he could do back there. You got to replace Jordan Mason anyways, who was handling that role. Garrido, now that he's starting running back, there's no reason to have him back there. So that could be a place
terrible
that
at
he
it
goes.
Anyway.
He hasn't so been good at it. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that there's a place for Abanikanda. I think you're right. I think it's the Rams game. I think that's probably when we see him get a few extra carries. So, Garrido, Patrick Taylor, Debo, they'll probably carry the load. Would I love to see some Israel Abanikanda? I would, because I think he's got some potential. But they ain't going to put him out there until they're comfortable with him out there. And that includes him in pass protection, which we know is huge for Kyle Shanahan and Bobby Turner.
Yeah, Patrick Taylor, Kyle Juszczyk. I would be shocked if we go back to the Kyle Juszczyk as our third down back some, which I didn't like and I don't like. But man, Isaac Garrido pass protection, which was like he was graded so high, he was the best pass protecting back in the draft. Man, a lot of brain farts this season. Okay, give me something, another thing that you want to see moving forward, and then I want to move to a couple other questions we've gotten so far.
Let's get George Kittle involved. You know what I mean? I realized that last week they had to use him a lot of times as that extra offensive lineman. The way the Bills were bringing in extra offensive lineman, the 49ers used George Kittle in that method. But now it's time to release this guy. You got to just let him go out there and start making plays. He had a distinct advantage against linebackers and safeties for Buffalo. He's going to have an advantage in this game against the Chicago Bears defense. And I think that they just need to get him the ball. They need to look to him on third down. I understand it's third and Juwan, but Kittle's got to have some opportunities there. And let's get some looks to get him the football in space, because he's still one of the most dynamic players, and he's our real only red zone threat right now. They're going to have to get to him, and once they do, teams will try to take him away and double him, and that will open some things up for everybody else. So it's kind of one of those feast or famine. Feast until they take it away and then go somewhere else. So right now, I'd love to see George Kittle get more involved. I do wish he would have caught that tight end screen, because I love those kind of plays for Kittle. Him in the open field, I think those are dynamic. It's at least 7 yards and usually more like 15 to 20.
Yeah, I mean, he's got twice as many touchdowns as the next player on the team. Yeah, almost like having an all-pro player, you should highlight that. And not we have lots of all pro players. He's the only one playing like an all pro currently and might be the only all pro player on our team. Probably going to be Fred Warner. Not sure he deserves in the second half. I love Fred, but like, I think we have one all pro player on our entire roster this year. And I think it is just George Kittle. He might not even win that because of Brock Bowers. Obviously he's better than Brock Bowers, but yeah, let's go with the guy that is actually pretty damn good at football. Now, coaching attrition. The 49ers in the past have lost so many coaches. This year, not been a good year. But I think that the conversation has already begun. We could be losing somebody. Brian Griese, the quarterback's coach that a lot of people gave credit to for Brock Purdy, drafting him, his development early on, not near as much criticism now with the year that Brock's had. But Michigan fired their offensive coordinator. What are your thoughts on Brian Griese? Do you think we'll be able to retain him? Should we be fighting to retain him? Should he go? Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think if he wants to be an offensive coordinator in general, he's going to leave the 49ers. There's no avenue for him to move up to be offensive coordinator. He stayed quarterback coach, and I think there's guys ahead of him still. And I think when you look at Kubiak, he's going to be ahead of him still in that methodology. So he's got to go. And I think that he probably will go. I don't know if this is the exact situation, but it seems like it makes a lot of sense. You know, it's his alma mater and all of that. So that could be an easy transition. But if he's looking to do more as a coach than just be a position coach, then yeah, he's probably going to have to go from underneath the 49ers umbrella, get another opportunity. And then that could spark an opportunity in the league if he wants to come back to the NFL. So I think we could be seeing the end of Brian Griese this season. I almost thought it was going to be last season, but it was Kubiak that got the offensive coordinator job and not Griese. I thought his name would carry enough weight to get him a couple of looks.
Yeah, the not calling the plays. Like, I'm a big, like, man, where you got to go call plays somewhere. Can an NFL team give him that opportunity? Sure. But I think he'd get a pay raise going to Michigan too. Like, that's what's crazy. Not that he needs money. I'm sure he's done very, very well for himself, broadcasting, playing career, whatever else, and his dad. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be turnover. And I think all of us want coaching turnover at the defensive side. And I think there's a lot of criticism on the defensive position coaches. Like, what position have we developed outside of cornerbacks? And I don't think we've developed any defensive linemen in the past 2 to 3 years. I don't think we've developed any linebackers in the past 2 to 3 years. Our safeties are playing the worst football that we've had at the safety position in a long time. Like, man, you know, Bullocks, Holland, Kucerik, they're stalwarts. You've been on coaching staffs. Sometimes just because somebody's been there a long time doesn't mean they're effective anymore. Do you think that the 49ers should be looking for new blood on the defensive side? Well, the offense is a little bit different, but like, the defense is the issue right now. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. What are your thoughts on just retaining the same guys over and over and over again, despite having by far a bottom five defense in the NFL right now?
Well, I think it's all about how you evaluate it. You know, I think if you look at the coaching staff and you feel like they're no longer being effective, that's one thing. But are you also looking at it like, hey, we've had to skimp at this position. You've been trying to make a lot out of a little and it's not working out. Maybe we need to get you more talent at the position. That's a little bit different. So I think it's kind of position by position. We've seen Johnny Hollins, right, create great linebackers. You get Fred Warner. You get Dre Greenlaw. How much of that was him? How much of that was D'Amico? I think is an interesting question. You got a young guy like Dee Winters. You're still hoping it's going to get better. I think that when you look at Daniel Bullock, I think you've seen a lot of really good play coming from Renardo Green, and we've seen some young guys step up. Yammer Lenore completely on him, so he's not going anywhere. I think with Chris Kocurek, it's going to take a lot for them to move on from him. He's the most high-priced coach that they have, so I think that Johnny Holland could possibly be a conversation, but I don't think they're ever going to let that guy go. I think they just have so much respect for him as an individual, but they've got to go ahead and put their money where their mouth is and start kind of getting these guys to play up to snuff. Now, I would say that Chris Kocurek could kind of hang his hat a little bit on Evan Anderson and say, hey, look, it's an undrafted free agent guy that, you know, is playing pretty well right now. Kalia Davis hasn't played terrible either since he's been healthy. He's gotten a little bit better. So there are a few guys you could possibly talk about that, but changeover on defense at position, it definitely can happen. I just don't expect it to happen.
I do like KJ Wright. You know, we were at training camp practices together. Like, KJ Wright, the energy, like, he's out there early. He's, like, I'm a big fan of him. He's the linebacker kind of assistant right now. And so, like, I think you have a place, a plan in place. Not saying I want Holland gone. I'm not saying I want Kucerik gone. I'm not saying I want Bullock's gone. I'm just saying conversations need to be had. You have the fourth highest paid defense in the NFL. I know injuries are huge, but you're playing at bottom five defense consistently. So that's an issue. Papa J, appreciate the question. He says, is Kubiak really a legit OC prospect? Everybody wants the Shanahan tree. And he's the first guy that Kyle has allowed to call plays. He's got the name recognition. The brothers out there, like, at some point, don't be shocked if little Kubiak is going to be an offensive coordinator as well. I'd put money on it if I had an opportunity to do so. Eventually, he's going to be an OC somewhere, right? Whether that is this year, probably not. But
yeah, I think so. I mean, you've seen Cliff get his opportunity with the New Orleans Saints. And we've seen, you know, brothers, you know, look at the LaFleurs. They were both with the Shanahans, and they both got offensive coordinator positions. And eventually, Matt LaFleur became a head coach. And we just don't know how good Clay Kubiak actually is, but I'm guessing if Kyle let him call plays in the preseason, he thinks he's pretty good and that he deserves an opportunity. At some point, someone will give him an opportunity. It's a lot easier to get an opportunity when your team's really good, so it might kind of hold him off being able to get an opportunity to be an O coordinator this year, but it's coming. It'll be either this year or next year. Somebody will take a chance because of the offensive scheme that he runs.
Team nepotism for the win of the NFL, man. Like, let's just be very – like, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I've never even talked to the guy. But I'm telling you, name recognition matters. Family ties matter. And this dude's got him out the wazoo. That's why I think it's going to go the way that it's going to go. So fun show today. Ant, you are always incredible. Any closing thoughts or remarks before we end this show and go play the Bears?
Yeah, we got to win. You know, let's go beat the Chicago Bears. 49ers got to go get something, you know, done. I think everyone understands what this game means at this point. If they don't win, it's a wrap. There's no conversation about playoffs, no conversation about anything. And I think for a lot of people, they're ready to move on to the draft anyways. They've given up on the season. The old ball coach in me will not give up until mathematically I'm out of it. I'm just a competitor like that. So I kind of lock into that mindset. It's like, oh, you're telling me there's a chance? Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and keep going.
People don't get that. And I understand not everybody has played and coached and whatever, and like have your life and your income be revolved around this. Like, people, like, teams don't tank. There might be one every now and then. Doug Peterson did. He got fired a year after he won a Super Bowl because if he did it. Like, it happens sometimes. But coaches, I'm sorry, man. It's not in our blood. We can't do it. Can't do it. You play to win the game, right? That's nice. My Herm Edwards / Michael Singletary. I used to play the clip, and then YouTube docks you, and so I can't even play the clip anymore, which really bothers me. They take all your money. That's not cool. So let's go get the win. And you are absolutely incredible. Everybody, if you haven't yet, go check out 40 Hours Cutback. He's got Madden Simulation tomorrow. He's got Preview Saturday, then Recap on Sunday. Got to check it. Dude knows ball. And he's a good dude. The master of disaster. The Apollo Creed of 49ers podcast. Just stay alive. Don't fight the Russian. All right. Anyway, until next time. Oh, we got a real quick super chat. I got to put this out here. Thank you, Filthy Casual. Thanks for all you do. Stay faithful, John and Ant. Hey, man, we ain't going anywhere. We're not. This is episode 1,277 for me, Ant. I think I'm committed to the cause. I don't know.
Just a little bit.
I think we're here to stay. We appreciate you guys. Thank you. That's why we always call you the faithful. And you're the best. And for everybody else, till next time, stay strong, faithful.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.